Good morning once again. It's a good morning. We need to say good morning. And it's good to be here this morning. God has been good to us. And this morning I want to look at the life of Stephen. Stephen, the first martyr. And we'll find that in the book of Acts chapter 7. We're going to read several verses. But we probably cover two chapters. And don't scare. I'm not going to scare you. I'm not going to go through all the two chapters of Acts. But, you know, just to pick up a little things about the life of Stephen. I think it's, when I read the life of Stephen, it's like, you know, our lives, we need to look at the Word of God to reflect who we are. And so I look at the life of Stephen and I feel of myself, you know, a man that really served God and gave his life to God. Let me turn this one on. Sorry. And I like my life to be used by God in that way. Acts chapter 7, verse 54 to verse 60. I don't know if you can stand, but I will. I know if you want to be able to stand with respect to reading of God's word. Acts chapter 7 verse 54 to verse 60, Bible says, when they heard these things, they were cut to the heart, and they gnashed on him with their teeth. But he, being full of Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God, and said, behold, I see the heaven opened, and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. Then they cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears and ran upon him with one accord, cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witness laid down their clothes at a young man's feet whose name was Saul. And they stoned Stephen, calling upon God and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. Father, thank you for your word. And Lord, I pray that you, at this hour as we look at your word, I pray that you help me, that I will preach your word in the way that you want me to preach, and pray that you challenge our heart. Help us to see our life, how we live our life to honor and glorify you. And I pray, Lord, that you bless the message this morning. Pray that your Holy Spirit will work in our hearts. In Christ's name. Amen. When I look at Stephen, as I said, I look at the life of Stephen. It's reflecting a life of a Christian. And I know that Christian was first called in Antioch. But you know, a Christian is the person that imitate the life of Christ. So when Stephen... his life was imitating the life of Christ. There are a lot of things that he went through. But I believe that things that he went through, it teach us how to live our life to glorify God. Our life is a journey. We start somewhere and we're looking forward to our arriving destination. There is a saying, if you aim for nothing, you will get nothing. You know, if you go to a wood and hunting, if you're aiming for... you're not aiming for a deer, you're going to hit a tree or hit somewhere else. You have to aim for something. Whether you're a farmer or a hunter or a fisherman or whatever you plan in life, you need to have a goal or target. You need to have a aim. We have to aim for something. No, I know as a farmer, I know a little bit of these things because, in our house, we don't trust people. You know, just trust people to come and fix things in our house when we first moved to a mission field, because people charge you a lot of money and they steal things from your house. And last day they will charge you highly thing. And sometimes, you know, I went with a lot of tools. You know, I think I have a little pocket of tools because after they fix things, they take things with them. And you don't trust them with a lot of things, but, you know, and I understand a little bit of all these things, a farmer and a fisherman. and also a hunter. You know, a farmer expects a harvest. It is a hard work. Make sure the soil is soft and the seed is good, the temperature is right, and make sure the water is, you water it every day. So that's how the farmer thinks. In order to get a harvest, you need to concentrate on those things. You know, a farmer expects a harvest, you need those things. A hunter's aim is to hit a target. He makes sure the weapon is in good condition, the setting is right, and he got right ammunition. You don't get into the field and you get find out that your gun is not, you know, shoot all those ammunition that you bring with you. Because in order to get a target, you need to have those things right. You know, fishermen expect a fish. There's no one just go to a water and see and expecting it just for fun. You have to expect a fish. You're going to spend the whole night trying to play around in the sea. You expect a fish. You got some men in our church go out and they were spending two nights in a hotel, paying the hotel. They were not messing around. They were there for fish. So make sure that you need a strong fishing pole, good bait, and all the tools they need. You know, if we don't have a goal in life, we will not get anywhere. And that's true. Christian life have goals. Our main goal is to get to heaven. Our preparation and hard work must be focused on Jesus and to get there. John chapter 14, verse 6, Jesus said, said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. So there's no way else. You know, as we see this morning, the only way to heaven is through Jesus Christ. You know, our good works, our religion, and anything else, you know, will not take you to heaven. In John chapter 4, verse 9, it said, For I am the door, by me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pastures. Stephen was the first martyr, and he's gone. He's one of the greatest role model of faith, an example of someone who had a goal in life, and he was on target fulfilling his dreams or his goal. The first thing I want you to look at the life of Stephen this morning is it is in chapter 6. Chapter 6, verse 4. Stephen's a man full of faith. He was a man full of faith. He said, It is a good start. Have faith in God. He trusted God with everything. Verse 4 said, Acts 4, 6 verse 4 said, But we will ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. And the saying pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and the Holy Ghost. This is the choosing of the seven deacons of the first church. And when they choose the first deacon in the first church, they look for somebody that have faith in God. You know, I'm not for people to put people in places so they can be faithful, but that's not the way God intend to do. You have to put people in place. They are faithful. They are already faithful. And I know there are some people that disagree with me and said I cannot put somebody in a position to song lead or do other things if I know that they're not faithful. Because what if it's not coming to show up in the morning of the service? No one's going to song lead. I have to put people that are already faithful. Why, you know, I'm not going to put somebody to teach Sunday school class because unless I know they're faithful. I know they're going to be there. The Sunday school kids will, you know, expect the teacher to teach them something. If they're not there, then they're not faithful. Then what's the point? But, you know, Stephen is a man full of faith. So when they chose deacons, the first deacons, they chose men full of faith and filled with the Holy Ghost. And Stephen is one of those men that he said in verse 4, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Ghost. Stephen was not only put his faith in Jesus Christ, which is a very important part of salvation, but he also constantly relied on God with every decision he makes in his life. There is only one faith that takes us to heaven, It is putting our trust in Jesus Christ. We talk about this morning the gospel of Jesus Christ. There's only one faith to take us to heaven. You know, there's no big faith and no small faith that take us to heaven. The size of our faith is the same to everybody, the faith in Jesus Christ. But you know what? Our faith should be growing. Our faith should be growing. You know, I always make this illustration. My son, when he was little, you know, I know that we brought him here, you know, when he was little. And, you know, first day, first time in the first service, we lost him. I was down there somewhere looking for food, down there somewhere. And, you know, but when he was little, he hardly eats. And my wife said, "Oh, this boy is going to be starving." I said, "Just let him, you know." And he hardly eats. And then we start growing up, 6 months old, and he's eating when he's sleeping. And then when he's 1 year old, we stop him from opening the fridge. And then 2 years old, we try to chase him around the house. You know, as he grow, he do a lot of things that we thought that he's never going to do those things. You know, he was 2 years old, and people said, "Is he going to speak? Is he going to talk?" I said, "Just let him, you know, give him some time." But you know, now you cannot stop him from talking. And you know what? Growing in that, people growing to, you know, to be who they are. And our faith in Christ is the same as like that. I cannot do things that I am doing now. When I first came to know Jesus Christ as my personal Savior, I was drinking milk, and people discipled me and put me in a position that I can grow. You know, things that I did 10 years ago is not the same as what I do now. The confidence in Christ that I have 10 years ago is not, you know, to do God's work is not the same as what I have now. Because when your faith grows, they give you a confident. And that's what here, it's not only Stephen have this, imagine when he came to know the Lord as his personal Savior the first time. You know, he probably not standing in front of people and preach. You know, we get into that in this message. But you see the life of Stephen. This happened with this electronic. You lost things. You know, he's not a man full of faith. His faith grow. You know, Matthew chapter 17, verse 20, he talk about faith as a master seed. You know, he's not talking about the size of the faith. He's not talking about, you know, your faith become the size of our faith. He's talking about the duration. He's talking about the seed become a tree. Because a seed will not stay the same. You know, he's talking about between the seed and the tree. From the seed to the trees, that's what Jesus said. If your faith not become, you know, it's not like a mustard seed, you cannot remove mountains. Because when the apostle, you know, followed Jesus in the beginning, they didn't do anything. You know, they just follow. Until Jesus gave them different things and they grow their faith and they become, you know, they heal people as Jesus did. And Stephen, it's the same thing. He not only had a faith in Jesus Christ, but he also, that is, his faith was growing. You know, in the Proverbs chapter 5, verse 5, he said, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path." Now, if you are a child of God, do you trust him with all your life? Good and bad things, struggle and challenge, persecution, and so on? Do we trust God? You know, we're going through the pandemic now. You know, there are people scaring us about these things. But you know, do you put your trust in God? I always have this confidence. Whatever happened in my life, I have God. He's watching. You know, God is still on the throne. You know, Joe Biden is not, you know, controlling the whole world. God's controlling the whole world. He might control the United States, but he cannot control the whole world. My God shall supply all my needs according to his riches and glory. Philippians 4:19. God is the one that supplies all our needs. It's not a government. It's God. You have to trust God. And I told this, one of the church grew up in a mission conference 3 weeks ago. Somebody asked me, what is your confidence in ministry? And I said, there's one thing I tell you. My confidence is in God, and God's watching. I don't care what people say. I don't care what people say about what I'm doing. I'm confident that God is watching me. And I have to do things knowing that he is watching instead of doing things because people are watching. And so we need to trust God. Are we trusting God with all our possession? Safety, finances, direction, wherever he leads, we will follow. Are we willing to stand up for him and confront the world in their wicked ways? In not only that Stephen had a man full of faith, he's also a man filled with the Holy Ghost. You see that in verse 6, it said, but we ourselves continually in prayers and the ministry of the word. This is what the apostle said, but he said, and saying, please the multitude, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and the Holy Ghost. You know, everybody should be filled with the Holy Ghost. We should be filled with the Holy Ghost. Because when we got saved, when we accepted Christ as our personal Savior, the Holy Spirit comes and lives in us. He will not depart. He will not go and come. As some people say that, you know, when the Holy Spirit comes, they, you know, the Holy Spirit, they raise their hands and they speak in tongues, you know, not tongues, but they speak babbling tongues. That's what other religion teach. But you know, when the Bible teaches, when you got saved, when you accepted Christ as your personal Savior, when you accept the gospel, the Holy Spirit come and dwell in us. And he will control us everywhere we go. And that's why we know, whatever man say about me, I don't care about what man said. I care what he said. Because I'm fear God is watching me. I don't fear people watching me. And Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30, he said, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby he are sealed unto the day of redemption. He said, fear not. The Holy Spirit of God is living us. He sealed us until the day of redemption. You know, I used to have, sorry if I take these things here because I cannot see if I put these things on. And I just use it to read. But, you know, we used to have I grew up in a pastor's house. My dad is a preacher, and also my sister and her husband's pastor of Congregation Church. So we grew up there. We had a herd of pigs. We feed pigs. And we got probably more than 100 pigs. And we feed them like they free range, but we feed them. And when we get our new pigs, we put a seal the ear, put the M, you know. The reason why we put that M there, because wherever that pig goes, they know that belongs to the pastor's house. So whenever they find, because they're free range, when they kill somebody, you know, accidentally kill a pig there, they bring it to the pastor's house because there's an M in the ear. That's tell that there's a pastor's pig. Pig. Why? Because it's sealed. So no, I'm making an illustration. We are sealed with the Holy Spirit of God. The moment that we accepted Christ as our personal Savior, the Holy Spirit of God sealed us, is in us. He will tell you what to do and where to go and, you know, what God wants you to do. He seals us until the day of redemption. He said, but we are still having access to our hearts. And that's what Paul said in Romans chapter 7, verse 25. He said, O richest man I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this dead? Even that the Holy Spirit live in us, we still live in this flesh. You know, this flesh is not saved. You know, I wish that our flesh is saved, because when we get saved, when our flesh is saved, probably we, you know, once we save, we go to heaven, but it's not. That's why the Holy Spirit lives in us. We live in this unsaved flesh. And I read that, I don't know if I tell the story, it's a capital punishment in those days, the Bible time, that in one of the countries, heathen country, when somebody committed a crime, they will tie that person with a corpse, a dead body. And that person will smell that body until he dies. One of the capital punishment. And that's what the Apostle Paul get this analogy from. O wretched man I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this dead? Even the Spirit of God lives in me. God lives in me. His Spirit come to in me when I accepted Christ as my personal Savior, but I'm still living this flesh. I'm tied up to this flesh. But he said, but thank God. Think verse 25. Through Jesus Christ, I have eternal life. I'm saved because Jesus Christ saved me. Even the Spirit of God live in me. I'm living this flesh. We cannot get rid of the flesh until we die, physically. But as long as we live in this flesh, we will have that, you know, conflict with the flesh. Romans chapter 7 is verse 14, for we know that the Lord is spiritual and the carnal, and I'm carnal, soul under sin. For that which I do I allow not, for what I would I do, that do I not, but what I hate, that do I. If then I do that which I would not, consent unto the law that is, it is good. Now then it is good, it is no good more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. For the good that I would, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. Now, if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. And that's what he is explaining. There are a lot of things that, you know, from a second, you know, English is my second language. I thought, what is do I do, I, you know. But, you know, there are a lot of things that the apostle explained. He said, if the things that I want to do, I cannot do it because, you know, and things that I don't want to do, you know, I do because sin is dwelling in me. As a Christian, we need to yield ourselves to God, follow His direction, be sensitive to the Spirit, and obey His voice. Paul said in the 1 Corinthians 6, verse 19, what? Know we not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which He have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought of the price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God. Stephen was full of Holy Ghost. He yielded himself to God and let God control his life. We need to do the same thing in our Christian life. Let God take control. Stephen not only have a man that full of faith, he has a man that filled with the Holy Spirit. There's a song that I usually sing when I first came to know the Lord. I love that song. Let the Lord have His way. Excuse me. In your life every day, there's no rest, there's no peace until the Lord have His way. Place your life in His hand. Rest secure in His plan. Let the Lord have His way. And I love that song. You know, when I first got saved, we sang that in Sunday school, and I hum that song everywhere. Because I love the words of the song, when you put your trust in God. You know, not only a man full of faith is a man of filled with the Holy Spirit, also number three is a man that was willing to facing persecution. He was willing to face persecution. Chapter 6, verse 10. And when they were not able to resist the wisdom and the spirit at which he spake, then they suborned men, which said, We have heard him speaking blasphemous words against Moses and against God. And they stirred up the people and the elders and the scribe and came upon him and caught him and brought him to the council and set up false witnesses which said, this man ceaseth not to speak blasphemous word against this holy place and the law. And we have heard him say that this Jesus Nazareth shall destroy this place and shall change the custom which Moses delivered us. And all that sat in the council, looking steadfastly on him, saw his face as it was the face of an angel. These people, they bring Stephen in front of the multitude and looking at him. And Stephen just stand there and stare at them, knowing this is the persecution doesn't come. As a Christian, knowing that he's facing the edge of the sword, Stephen's standing there looking at their face, and they said, people witnessed him. He said, his face is like the face of an angel. Why? Because he was not scared of facing persecution in his life. Because he know he loved Jesus Christ more than anything else. And when he stand there and look at people, people see the difference. And the same as us. You know, people see the difference between a Christian and non-Christian by the way we act, the way we talk, the way we do things. But Stephen is out there. All the people are looking at him, accuse him, and tell him that he's trying to change the law of Moses. And Stephen look at them with willing to defend the name of Jesus Christ. And I said, people looking at him, and he says, look like a face of an angel. He's not only a man that filled with the Holy, full of faith. He was filled with the Holy Spirit. He was facing persecution. And also he's a man who's faithful in his preaching. He was faithful in his preaching. Chapter 7 to verse 1 to verse 51 is the whole preaching of Stephen. That's the whole message. Verse 1 to verse 51, he started from the chapter 12 of Genesis when God called Abraham out of Chaldees from Mesopotamia to go down to Canaan. And from that one on, all the way through the 430 years of Israel in Egypt and cover the 420 years of the Judges and all the 40 years in the wilderness going to the Jesus Christ, everything Stephen covered in this message. He faithfully, can you imagine? Somebody, people look at him in his face and Stephen just standing there looking at them and preach to them God and the gospel. He was a man full of faith. He's a man full of Holy, filled with the Holy Spirit. He's a man that he was willing to face persecution. He's a man that's faithful in his preaching. He started in Genesis and finished in the gospel. He was faithful in his preaching. He was laid down the foundational truth. He presented the truth in love. He explained the history, everything, God working and the promise and the plan, God for the salvation. First Corinthians 1, verse 18 says, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us, which are saved, it is the power of God. You know, we see preaching, we sit down through preaching, and we can feel the power of God. But you know, preaching is for those that are not saved, is for them to see how great God is. And Stephen, he was faithful in his preaching. So not only he was faithful in his preaching, number five, he's not only a man full of faith, he's a man filled with the Holy Ghost. He's a man not fearing to face persecution. He was faithful in his preaching, and also he's a man that fearless witness. He's a fearless witness. Chapter 7, verse 51. Excuse me. He said, he's stiff-necked and uncircumcised heart and ears. Can you imagine? Imagine people that looking at him with big eyes and about to grab him and take him persecute. And he said, he stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, he do always resist the Holy Ghost, as your father did. This is exactly what your father did, that you always walk that way. You're following them. So do we. Which of the prophets have not your father persecuted? And they have slain them, which showed before of the coming of the just one, and whom he have been now the betrayer and murderer, who have received the law by the disposition of angels, and have not kept it. When you love someone, you will warn him to stop the bad things. As I said this morning, Peter said, the judgment became toward the house of God. It's our responsibility to take the gospel out, but judgment begins in the house of God. And that's what he says here in this verse. He said, I'm just warning you. Stephen knows his responsibility as a child of God, as a Christian. He needs to take the gospel out. And he did not look at the face of the people and say, oh, and he's scared and went away. He looked at the face of people as he's looking at the eyes of God. You know that song? Let me see the world through your eyes. God, let me see the world through your eyes. Because if we see the world, the eyes of God, it's a totally different perspective. Because we look at people and we get mad at people and that's it. It's up to them, you know. If you warn and warn a child and not listen to you, oh, it's up to you. No, it's not. It's our job. I told this to the men of one of the men of congregation in Samoa came over. First man that got saved, and his brother-in-law was a drug, was alcoholic. And when he got saved, he came and, you know, he talked, and I said that we need to pray for Mino. He gets saved. And he said, Pastor, he called me Pastor, even a missionary, Pastor, there's no way that person can save. I said, what do you mean? I said, because he was alcoholic all his life. He started drinking when he was 12 years old. And he's wasting all his dad's property and all the things. And I said, you know what? There's only one reason, you know, as long as a man, this is what I say, as long as a man breathes, he's got a chance. As long as a man breathes, he's got a chance to listen. You know what? I'd prove him wrong. That man came to our church service with tears. You know, acknowledged Jesus Christ. And he started reading his Bible. You know why? Because the power of the gospel. It's not our words. It's the power of the gospel through Jesus Christ. To see the world throughout. He said, Stephen, look at the multitude with their angry face, and he told them, you stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart. You do always resist the Holy Ghost. This is what I'm trying to tell you, but you keep on resisting it. Jesus laid down his life because he loves us so much. Fearless witness can stop people from going down to the fearful fire of hell. Ezekiel chapter 3 and verse 6, Ezekiel warned the children of Israel. It came to pass, at the end of 7 days, the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, I have made thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore hear the words at my mouth, and give them warning from me. When I say unto the wicked, thou shalt surely die, thou shalt givest him not warning, nor speak it to warn the wicked from their wicked way, to save his life. The wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at thine hand. Yet if thou warn the wicked, and he turn not from his wickedness, nor from his wicked way, he shall die in his iniquity, but thou hast delivered thy soul. God said, Ezekiel, don't scare at them, just tell them. Because if you not warn them, and they will, you know, not obey me, the blood is in your hands. But if they you warn them and they're not listening, so the blood is on their hand. You know, I told you the story of the young man that I met on the airplane yesterday. I warned him. You know, I have this feeling that if you go past an opportunity that God gives you and you never open your mouth to tell him the truth, I walk out feel guilty. And I'm glad I walked out of that plane yesterday knowing I wouldn't have let that guy beside me. Because it will be on my mind for the whole of this trip. That young man was sitting there, do not know the gospel. But I'm glad I have time to give them the gospel. You know, I feel like this verse is applying there. If I'm not warning a person, then the blood is on my head. So we see here that Stephen, not only a man full of faith, he was filled with the Holy Ghost. He was facing persecution, he was fearful in his preaching, he was fearless in his witness, and also he was fixed his eyes on Jesus. He fixed his eyes on Jesus. Chapter 7, verse 54 to 56, he said, and when he heard these things, they were cut to the heart. They gnashed on him with their teeth, but he, being full of Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly unto heaven, and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God, and said, behold, I see the heavens open, and Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. In the midst of the angry crowd and the scary sound of accusation, with a multitude of religion fanatics, Stephen looked steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God. Stephen fixed his eyes on Jesus. He never take his eyes on Jesus. As he approached the multitude, his eyes was right there. He said, as they throw him my accusation, all these things, and Stephen said he fixed his eyes on Jesus. Stephen fixed his eyes on Jesus. He knew his time on earth is coming to the end, and he saw the gates of heaven with Jesus standing on the right hand of God, ready to receive him. It is an amazing feeling. When you know you are on your deathbed side, knowing that you do what you can do to serve the Lord, what God gives you to do, and you feel, you know, no one of us is perfect of all our, you know, in this side of eternity, but it is a good feeling when you know you are on that stage, you are ready to meet the Lord, and you feel like you're still doing the Lord's work. He fixed his eyes on Jesus. Then we come to the number 7, which is the last point of this message. You know, Stephen's testimony, not only is a man full of faith, he's a man filled with the Holy Spirit. He's a man willing to face persecution. He's a man that's faithful in his preaching. A man that's fearless in his witness. A man that fixed his eyes on Jesus. And also is a man that finished his work with a right attitude. He finished the work with a right attitude. In verse 57 to verse 60, he said, and they cried with a loud voice and stopped their ears and ran upon him with one accord and cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witness lay down their clothes at the young man's feet, whose name was Saul. And they stoned Stephen, calling upon God and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. Stephen knew the most important task in his life is obeying God's will. He knew his destiny. He was not worried about himself, but he was concerned about the lives of his persecutor. He knelt down and cried with a loud voice to God, forgive his accuser. He finished with the right attitude. Can you imagine when he's sitting there, looking at a stone flying up to your head? Would you say forgive them? It's hard to forgive somebody that did, you know, you harm. When he's sitting there and looking at the stones, all these stones coming, and you know you're going to get. Stephen said, God, Forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. He finished with a right attitude. Let me ask you a question. Do you practice the same principle in your life as a Christian? Do you have faith in Christ? Are you filled with His Holy Spirit? Are you facing persecution because of your faith? Are you faithfully sharing Christ? Are you fearless in each witness? Is your eyes fixed on Jesus? What legacy you leave behind? What legacy? When we die, what legacy do we leave behind? Several people in the Bible heard about heaven, but they miss out. Thought of the malefactor on the cross, spoke to the door of heaven and went to hell. He said, "Jesus, you are Son of God. Save me. Save yourself and save us." He didn't say, "God, save you." You're Son of Man. He's questioning. He was talked to a door of heaven and went to hell. Think of Judas Iscariot. He actually kissed the door of heaven and went to hell. That Garden of Gethsemane, he came by and kissed Jesus and he went to hell. There are a lot of people come that close, but they're not making decisions. And I thought, the Apostle Paul, they said, as they persecute Stephen, those men came and take their clothes off, put in the feet of Saul, and pick up a stone, throw it to Stephen. And as Saul stood there and looking at persecution, I wonder how God make him feel. Because immediately after that, God met Saul, became Paul. Why? Because he finished with a right attitude. Our life, God give us a job to do. God wants expect of us, but God wants us to finish with a right attitude. Doing what God wants us to do. Reaching the world for Jesus Christ. I know we are fewer here this morning, but there are hundreds and hundreds on a stadium today for an NFL football game. But you know what? As long as we're here for right attitude, to serve our God, to do our best to serve Him. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the challenge. And I just pray, Lord, that you help us to be a servant, to honor and glorify your name. And Father, I pray that our life will be useful for you and we should obey what you want us to do. Lead us to where you want us to go and help us that we will do your work in a way that you want us to go. In Jesus' name, amen. Pastor.